You are listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network.
You've listened to OneOfUs.net for years. Quality shows that have made you laugh and maybe even cry. But did you know they produce podcasts that you may not have even heard of? For just a few dollars a month, you have the opportunity to hear quality podcasts like The Breakfast Pub,
The Game Bowl 2016, get hyped, motherfuckers,
The Original Gentleman.
I see this as an avenue to you becoming a huge chick magnet.
Oh, yeah.
And the Watch a Movie With Us series.
By the way, anybody thinking that his makeup is a little bit heavy here does not remember the 80s.
Oh, she's thinking about banking babies right now.
Oh, it turned into a phallic symbol.
Become a subscriber to OneOfUs.net and choose your level of giving from Red Shirt, Brown Coat, Time Lord, and Jedi. And know that your donation will help bring quality oral entertainment to you for years to come. Thank you. And may Cthulhu devour your house last.
Quietly into that genre night. We will fight back. This will be our sequel to Independence Day.
Please don't quote horrible speeches from movies that we should then talk about.
Hey.
Is that quoting Dylan Thomas?
No.
Sorry, but Bill Pullman's speech in the original Independence Day was stirring.
Yeah, well, it certainly wasn't stirring. I can't even talk anymore. It's too late, everybody. Stirring in this movie.
It's like a resurgence.
It's like it was some kind of resurgence.
Yeah.
Welcome high to the review.
Hello.
Who you've heard more talked about in myth and legend.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He does live in myth and legend.
Exactly.
We are, of course, talking about Independence Day Resurgence, or ID42. This will be a spoiler review because it's already out, so
yeah.
Fuck it.
Yeah. It's dumb and we don't care if we're going to
see it. The thing is, if you want, like, just, should I go see it? If you think, just go see it for the spectacle, at least, so you can have an informed opinion.
Well, I mean, I suppose so. Just make sure you see it in a theater that has proper bulbs, because this is a very either darkly lit film or a so bright it's intentionally washed out. I suspect just to cover up, like, for costs on last passes.
Yeah,
on
you're being racist right there.
And definitely don't see it in 3D, because that just makes it worse.
Yeah, that just makes it worse. And there's not that much 3D in here that really is.
No, it's just like, I... doesn't even matter.
It more adds, like, dimension in certain scenes. Like, it adds depth. But there's nothing that you're going to be like, wow, that was really fun 3D.
You're right. It adds more depth. You get to see Brett Spiner's ass. You know, brings it out. coming right at me.
But it doesn't do, like, How to Train Your Dragon, where there are parts of that movie where you're going to think yourself, like, God, I'm glad I saw this in 3D because of the flying scenes.
Well, animation films are almost always the ones to see in 3D. Yeah. And everything else, you can kind of take it or leave it.
Yeah.
But the thing is, no matter what we have to say about this movie, I know, much like me, there are a lot of people who've already decided, well, fuck you, I'm going to go see it no matter what you say. And because I was that way. I was like, I don't care how bad people say it is.
Yeah, the part where Will Smith dies had added a lot of death.
You know,
like
you
that.
Joke, but I tell you, like, there was a 5-minute stretch towards the end of that movie, I honest to God thought, is Will Smith going to come out of nowhere? And, like, I'm not kidding. And some F-16, like, oh, we kept him in reserve.
Because
that's how stupid it was going. I was like, come on.
Because he's a cyborg. That's what they should have done. They should have brought him back as a cyborg.
Yeah. I was honest. I'm not even exaggerating. I was honest to God waiting. I was like, please do this.
He's just a head in a robot suit, like in the Doctor Who Christmas special. Actually.
What if he got the alien technology, became Hancock and just started flying?
Yes.
You know, it's the one thing, because they keep reminding you, Will Smith used to be in this series.
Like,
you've shown pictures of him, even in the White House, like hanging right next to the entrance of the Oval Office, there is a portrait of Will Smith. And I'm like, that's the scariest thing in this movie, that someday a picture of Will Smith would be hanging in the
and
White
it's
House.
Fresh Prince, it's the Fresh Prince vintage Will Smith.
And like, he's looking down, you go, woo!
Yeah, by the way, we're not spoiling anything. Will Smith dies off screen.
Yeah.
In, but, like, I think 2007, like, on that timeline.
Yeah, yeah. When basically post-alien invasion, they were like, well, we're going to make this technology work on our ships and forget how to use it. And he was one of the early test pilots. Remember, he was a test pilot.
Well, he said, I got to get myself one of these.
Yeah. And he does. And apparently it blew him up. So, no, bad call.
He died in the marketing. They actually show his death scene, like, the marketing for the movie.
Yeah. They have you go onto the website. They actually have that. With the actor not in it.
No, no, of course not.
But they still own
his hell no.
They own his likeness from then, so they can use all those images, old images.
But don't worry, because there's still some of that gene pool there in a story way, anyway, not in a real,
not really,
no.
More of an, I think you want to talk about the more of an insulting way, because, like, we'll get to it, but there's a part where it's like, you brought that character back just to do this. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, it's Jesse Usher plays Dylan Dubrow Hiller, who
do you mean
is,
Jesse Usher?
Who is, in fact, not even his natural son. Remember? It's
no.
his stepson.
That's right. It's his stepson.
Yeah,
that's right. Oh.
Not even his genetic son.
So no wonder he has no charisma.
Yeah, yeah.
That makes more sense, though.
It's like, it does.
Technically, he's a main character in the film, but I'll be
not
damned
really.
If he does much more than just kind of stand around and go, yes, Liam Hemsworth, we should do that.
Exactly. He's there to make Liam Hemsworth look charismatic.
Which
oh, my
is,
God.
Which,
you're
which
exactly
is,
correct.
Which, you know.
I thought the other guy did, but...
Oh, yeah, because Liam Hemsworth has a little wormy, like, bro-love sidekick who is there just to go, you're so amazing.
Right.
Well, I mean, I feel like I agree with that, but it's also like, we need to appeal to this demo.
Yeah.
And there's not a teenager in the middle of this movie. We got to get as close as we can a teenager and a boy trying to meet a girl. Go. Okay,
well,
who looks like Shia LaBeouf? Let's get Shia... We need a Shia LaBeouf.
Well, they
is anyone still saying that?
I feel like if you're in an action movie, you need a what's it, a jock nerd. You need that middle hybrid so that you can have something that a teenage boy, because that's what they're trying to get to, can latch onto and say, I'm going to put all of me on top of this character so I can just put myself in the movie.
I just saw it as like that guy was like the white guy version of, like, what's his name in Prince of Bel-Air?
Oh, GJ Jazzy Jeff?
No,
Carlton?
No. Carlton, yeah. Like, he was like the white version of Carlton, right?
Yeah.
Follow him around all the time.
Yeah,
oh my God, I think you're right.
Yeah, totally was.
I just want him to die.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the thing is, like, there's a lot of people in here you're really like, okay, that person we've officially decided is expendable, so they can die and no one's going to feel bad.
No.
In fact, compared to the first movie, a lot less people really die.
Yeah, it was a lot
one.
Less destruction.
I mean, like, basically the plot, such as it is, which you can figure out from the trailers, more or less, is that it's like what, however many years it's
years.
Been since the last one.
Mm-hmm.
20 years, yes. And like, they've studied this technology and they're like, now our ships are all badass and we've got a moon station.
There's a station on Saturn's moon.
Yeah, there's a space station on Saturn's moon. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're not all there yet. We're still working
mm-hmm.
on shit.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
like, suddenly, like, this thing comes through and they're like, fuck, what is it? We don't know what it is. Shoot it! And it's not actually, as it turns out, the bad guy's ship, but they still don't know what it is, and they find this thing, like, well, we should study that. Meanwhile, while that's going on, another alien ship, like, that's 3,000 miles long, which is to say considerably longer than the previous
ship. The size of a continent, basically.
Size of a continent, shows up and is like, fuck all of you. We're here to settle shit for revenge. Revenga!
Well, like, I read a forum post, like, a few months ago when the first trailer came out, and they really characterized it the best that I've heard it. It's like, imagine if you sent out this one group to go, like, kick somebody's ass, and they're supposed to just whoop this person's ass. And you hear, wait a second, they did what? Fuck that. We're getting all our shit. We're going to go take them down. And that's what this movie basically is. It's like, what do you mean? They fucking beat them?
Mm-hmm.
With the Apple, with the fucking computer virus? Did they not update the subscription? Fuck that. We're getting our best ship. We're going to go take care of the shit ourselves.
That's what happened. They were like, somebody at the tech side for the aliens was like, how much are they charging for Norton antivirus?
Fuck, we can get AVG antivirus.
Yeah,
we can get the free
it'll be,
one.
It'll be fine.
Well, their mama comes back to whip them into shape.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's exactly. Because now, like, you're like much like an alien in this one.
Yeah, the Alien Queen.
Like, the sequel, they're like, we got to introduce the Alien Queen, which does, in fact, look remarkably like the Alien Queen from Aliens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not, all slimy and gooey. Right.
Not the least of things this movie borrows from other better science
fiction. Oh, it borrows liberally from everything. It's like the Harry Potter of science fiction.
But did they explain why their radar was not upgraded to detect that giant ship that was flying through the cosmos?
Wait, the what now?
Well, they couldn't, what, they didn't get, like, the...
Oh, yeah, no, there's lots of stuff that is just there for convenience, and they explain away by technobabble. I mean, this film has so much technobabble in it, they even just throw in, fuck it, it's cold fusion. Like, whenever possible. It's like, cold fusion? That's not even mentioned in the original film. That's, like, goes back to, like, the middle of the last century.
Isn't that how they keep beer cold?
Yeah, right? I think there actually is a cooler that they call cold fusion cooler or something. But it's a made-up technology that never existed and probably never will.
And that's one of the things I actually love about science fiction, because you can keep track of whatever the hot, new, we don't really understand technology, scientific theory of the day is.
Yeah.
Because in the 80s, the big thing we didn't understand was tachyons. Then early 90s, it was quarks. Then it was
dark matter,
slipstream and dark matter.
Yeah.
Then it was event horizons from black holes. And then it was quantums, because that quantum drives have been around for the last few years. And now it's finally moving onto the one that Independence Day referenced.
Yeah.
Which I forgot, because my head would blink. Yeah.
But, you know,
it doesn't matter. Jeff Goldblum's there.
Oh, it's finally moving back to cold fusion, because Tesla is... There's something about, like, cold fusion in the Tesla, in the Hyperloop technology in San Francisco. So somebody's been looking at that. It's like, oh, I don't really understand that, but I'm going to put it in there.
Yeah.
Did Doc Brown invent all this stuff?
I don't think. I think it was just nuclear. by the way, they did announce that in Ready Player One, they will be keeping the DeLorean time travel sequence.
Yeah, but then taking out a bunch of other stuff.
They're taking out all the other Spielberg stuff.
We'll get into that later.
Spielberg's directing it. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Anyway, so there's a lot of characters in this film. A lot. Most of which are here mainly as a wink and a nod to the original, who are unnecessary. I mean, even Jeff Goldblum, who's here, really is just kind of a, we're just all waiting for him to do that moment where he figures something out and does that Jeff Goldblum-ish. I watched, this is why I came to this movie, for that moment, and you will not be disappointed, even though it's a really stupid idea.
No, definitely, I completely agree with you. I mean, he's solely here so we can get new internet memes and new GIFs of him, in which there are several in this movie which I know are going to be very, very popular.
Who is she? Like, that's going to be the first meme.
Yeah. And well, then, my personal favorite is just his weird scream, that wah!
Yeah.
Wah!
Oh, Goldblum. Awkward, like, I can't be bothered to scream emote.
You know, you're talking about Goldblum, you're talking about the returning characters. What I really liked, and it didn't really hit me to the end of the movie, is we basically have Planeteers. Like, there's a team of five fighter pilots that basically get introduced, where you're like, these are the Planeteers. Are they Power Rangers? It's like,
okay,
no, right.
I understood now, Elliot. Thank you.
Hemsworth being kind of the bad boy.
Yeah, he's the Green Ranger.
He's most certainly not Tommy Oliver.
He's their Green Ranger, is what I'm saying. He's supposed to be, but he doesn't reach it.
I don't understand what the fuck you guys are talking about.
He's at best a Billy Cranston.
Okay, listen.
I'll give him that.
That's
a Blue Ranger.
This is geeked out of my control.
He's certainly not Jason. He's certainly not Tommy Oliver.
Oh, he's definitely Jason. Jason was a punk.
Yeah, but then...
Compared to Tommy, yeah, sure.
I mean, of that
compared
crew...
Compared to Zach, he was a punk.
Will you guys quit it with the Power Rangers?
I'll give that.
We're just like, screw Power Rangers.
Okay.
Is it 2017?
You'll get the chance.
Oh, it'll be here soon.
You'll get a chance when the movie comes out that I don't go see.
I'm so excited.
Of that team, you've really just got him. You've got,
President's
Miller Jr. You've got the President's daughter.
Mika Monroe.
Who's Mika Monroe. Who's beautiful, but probably should have been doing something better.
You know
that... Definitely. I mean, we've seen her in The Guest and It Follows. I'm like, why are you doing? Oh, because money. Yeah. But still, it's just like.
And then you have the Chinese pilot, like Angel Baby, who is actually kind of turning into a huge star in China.
Is that her name?
Well, that's why she's probably
Angel
in the
Baby,
movie.
Yeah. I mean, that's her, I mean, it's like shit.
Her English.
Yeah. It's like Baby Metal,
you definitely watch and you're like, so China's a big demo now.
Yeah.
Because, it's the same thing that Transformers 4 did. Where not as bad. Transformers Former just straight up said, we're going to China for the last part of this
movie. Yeah, we're going to take a plot here. We're just going to go to random locations throughout the country that are not, anywhere near each other.
But, they're the Power Rangers of space, whatever, that are given a certain amount to do. Although, once again, they, too, are, through most of this film, relatively ineffective for, yeah. for what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Like, most of this film is just people floundering about until Jeff Goldblum comes up with a plan.
Yeah.
You know, in the third act. And you know, I mean, even, Bill Pullman, who is, like, you know, the president in the original one, and now they've said, well, something's wrong with him. They never really say, does he have dementia? What's going on? But, like, you know, when the aliens show up, suddenly he and Brent Spiner, who mysteriously has only been in a coma, not dead.
Which just makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, he wakes up, they both keep going, ah, it's in my head. Yeah. Apparently there's some telepathy thing now that, I mean, you understand why maybe Brent Spiner would be tied into that.
Because he was touched by the aliens, yeah. but like
no
the president.
No clue why Bill Pullman would be.
No, Bill Pullman was touched in the first movie.
He's here in this one to be Randy Quaid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to bring up. He looked like, we need a Randy Quaid, somebody who's like crazy.
Yeah. And looks unkempt and wild.
Yeah.
But it's like, if you never go full certain thing, you never go halfway Randy Quaid.
Yeah,
you need
to
go full Randy Quaid if you're going to do Randy Quaid.
Well,
like, I need to see the crazy uncle from National Lampoon if you're going to go full Randy Quaid. But yeah, I think it the thing it doesn't do, though, it doesn't fall into this trap of trying to do everything that the first movie did. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it's in a really weird spot. Like, I feel that they were in this box that they couldn't win the same way the first one won, and they can't win if there's a third one the way the third one's going to win, because they have to make this really awkward transition to get the people who saw the first movie and loved the first movie 20 years ago, especially if you saw it when you were 12 like me, and like that was a seminal movie for you. It's like my first real blockbuster. And then you got to also try to build a future and like transition to a space story if you want to have another movie.
Well, I mean, I'll hand it to him. That's exactly what this movie does, if nothing else, is goes, where are we going to, if we do get another movie, where are we going to take it that's not just like where we're like, we're going to just tell them attacking Earth again, and they're like, this movie goes, okay, we got something.
That Star Wars franchise is pretty popular. I wonder how we can copy more from that. Because here's the thing, it's like, really for me, this movie only becomes interesting towards the end of the third act, really. I mean, because they introduce, we're spoiling it, so. Yeah. I mean, they kind of do almost the exact same thing where they're trying to blow up the alien mothership in a way, because they got to kill the queen, right?
Yeah.
Because that once you kill her, all the ships fly off for some reason. Okay.
Yeah.
But, and they do that, and Bill Pullman dies, and it's like, okay, no one really cares. And then they have this whole segment where it becomes a kaiju movie, which I thought was pretty cool.
That's the best part of the whole film.
Yeah.
A giant kaiju queen stepping around and shit. I was like, okay, that's kind of awesome. I wish Matt Frank was with us when we were watching.
He would have liked that scene.
He would have liked that a lot.
Just start convulsing. He's so happy.
Then the Dinozord would have came in.
But they said, you know, at the end of Aliens, wasn't that cool when the queen came out there? I just need that part right there.
You know, you actually remind me, because like the president's daughter, I forgot her name.
Micah Monroe.
She starts looking like Ripley towards the end.
Yeah, she should have had a get away from it, you bitch scene.
But they do that, though, where you have Will Smith's uncharismatic son. Close encounters.
It's like what? You honestly, it was sort of painful to watch, because it's like...
It is.
You can't deliver that line enough
but
for who you're trying to ape.
Mm-mm.
But you know what's so funny is, like, you talking about the aliens, the part where... the mother alien is chasing the bus. Isn't that like chasing...
That was so good.
It was just like...
For no good reason.
For no good reason. Like, it came after that bus. Like, why?
That bus.
You loved the part where the mother queen was chasing you. Chasing the bus.
Well, that in the Jurassic Park part.
I was just going to bring up, like, what you know, famous franchise is Jeff Goldblum being chased by something giant?
Well, he wasn't being chased. I guess he was later, but yeah.
They even had the mirror saying, objects in the mirror are close to the
mirror. Closer.
Like, come
it's
on,
getting closer. Guys. Must go faster.
I thought he would have said that.
Whole scene seemed to be like there for no other reason than, look, Judd Hirsch showed up at our door begging to be in this movie.
He really should have been cut complete. He should have died for the front of that movie.
That would have been awesome if he died, and I hoped all those kids would have died too on that bus.
kids that aren't horrible. Even mentioned until like over an hour into the film.
Yeah, it's like
suddenly here's a whole group of kids as a subplot.
Well, I mean, I think the reason the trap they were in. Mm-hmm. They try to you can't tell a full on future story if you haven't made that jump yet. So you have to try to connect to the average person, because you're still still ostensibly telling a story where we're only 20 years out from this thing, and we don't have interstellar technology yet. So you really do need to try to connect to that average person if you're trying to tell half that story and half the future story. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of the casting I thought was very on the nose, like bringing back Brent Spiner.
Yeah, which evoked, was such an odd decision.
Well,
yeah.
It's like, but it evokes Star Trek.
Yeah. Which they made no secret of, like, making little in-jokes, like, by the way, he's in Star Trek. Yeah.
Well, it's like, but then, like, the thing that they also do is they get the guy, I forgot his name, but he was in Armageddon, he becomes the president in the movie.
Oh, William Fichtner?
Yeah.
William Fichtner, been getting a lot of stuff, great actor.
But he's in a lot of space movies, like, it's like, a lot of these casting decisions are very conscious, because it's obvious that this movie is not a movie for its own merit, this movie is trying to get to the next movie, where they probably can do some really cool shit.
Which, once again, I think this would make a great TV series. Mm-hmm. I just don't think they make particularly good movies, you know, at this point. I think part of the problem is there's just not a lot of Hollywood commitment to this brand overall. I think they spent a lot of money at first because they thought they were making a trilogy. Yeah. And then somebody's changed their mind at the last minute.
This film
feels really last minute. Fuck, we got to fix a bunch of stuff and change a bunch of shit. None of the jokes really work overall.
Oh,
like, there's
terrible.
A lot of attempts to be funny, which worked so well in Independence Day, in the original.
Because you
like,
got
one
Will
of the
Smith.
High points were like, this is funny. These characters are charismatic. I'm laughing with them. Here, when I'm laughing, I'm usually laughing at the movie, not with it. But admittedly, in kind of a... I'm still having a good time.
But again, like, you got Will Smith, you got Jeff Goldblum, and you got Randy Quaid, playing off of each other, and that's so good. Like, you got Randy Quaid just as this, like, out-of-work drunk who, like, he crop dusted the wrong field, and he's basically his character from National Lampoon.
Yeah, he's
and Uncle Eddie. So, like, you have inherently funny people. You had Will Smith at the height of his Fresh Prince powers, Before Scientology ruined him.
The first movie, I don't think it was all that funny. I mean, it's like Randy Quaid wasn't even that humorous in that movie. I mean, he just played a crazy old guy, but I don't think he was.
I think
it was a comic relief or something.
Well,
funny, maybe the wrong.
He was the guy, the one guy who believed in all this.
Yeah.
He was like, I totally believe in Roswell and aliens and all this, and I was abducted, and like we all do. He's like, whatever, crazy guy. And then it was like, whether or not he had been abducted for real was still in question. So you're still like, yeah, the guy's still unbalanced. But he was right about aliens coming down and visiting us.
I think we may have misplaced. It's not so much comedy as in charisma in that it doesn't – I don't have that a connection
well,
to
I mean,
this
yeah,
one.
If you're talking about personalities, there were personalities in the first movie. This one, I don't think there were.
No.
As far as character.
One of the saddest things here was like the little brief cameo by Robert Loggia, who was like, let's bring those sons of bitches down from the first one, like general guy. He died in December of last year, and he's here for a minute just sitting down looking confused and unaware of what's happening. And you're like, oh, man, they dragged him out of his hospital bed.
It's very obvious that he did.
Oh, did he have Alzheimer's?
Yeah. Remember when they're doing they do the thing on stage to like, it's July 4th, so we're doing our big celebration in this football field, and the president stumbles up on stage and stuff. The ex-president. Mm-hmm. He was there. They show the people sitting down, and he was sitting there. I don't know what's up.
Yeah, he stands up briefly, and they introduce him. But like,
well, and also, it shows how you sometimes get, there's a problem when you try to do extended media versus trying to keep with what everybody knows from the first movie. Because if you look at the extended media, he actually became president after Whitmore in that universe's timeline. So they don't introduce him as the other president because they can't do that because you're having those things don't line up. Mm-hmm. So somebody in the marketing team like either got fired or dropped the ball. But I was like, that's a little jarring because like why would you release something that you ostensibly want me to read? I read it, and then it doesn't line up.
I think one of the big problems this movie has is that it was released too late. This sequel should have came out probably 10 years ago instead of right now. Because you're saying that they're trying to connect to you. You know, people who I mean, you saw the film.
It should have come out 10 years ago.
I certainly remember the film. I don't have the connection to it that you guys certainly have. But even like younger kids, they have no connection to Independence.
Yeah, it should have been 10 years ago.
They don't know, you know, Jeff Goldblum or Bill Pullman. And some of these new actors, I mean, I don't think they're into someone like Liam Hemsworth or...
The lesser Hemsworth.
Well, part of it when the original came out, we honestly had reached that point where we're like, we're probably never going to see another Star Wars film.
Yeah,
you know. Well, so this is as good as we're going to get, and it's pretty good. It's not great.
No.
It's filled with holes and flaws.
You guys are hungry for it.
We're hungry for it. You put this thing out Like, I mean, if they had put this out right after, like, Phantom Menace, it probably would have been, gotten a lot more money and had a lot more focus on it. Because it was like, man, everybody hated the new Star Wars. Let's make a new Independence Day. And then it would be funny because he was like, wow, Independence Day sequel is better than the Star Wars prequel. Which, by the way, I'm not sure if this actually is.
Oh, this is definitely better than Phantom Menace.
It's still this pretty film? Bad.
My God. Like,
Phantom Menace is... Mm. The Star Wars prequels are more bad in the context that... They're made in, as part of the Star. No.
I hate prequels more because I have more personal connection to Star Wars.
That's what I'm saying. It's like those movies are bad in a way that they are disappointing. This movie is bad in that it's so bad that it starts having fun with how stupid it gets.
See, I don't think ever gets to that point though.
Yeah, I do.
They don't sell it.
I think that's the problem right there. Is they want to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
And it never quite works. Mm-hmm. I think that at its best. When the closest it comes to working is giant kaiju queen mother stomping around, which you're like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But you're like, it's super fun anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you're like, but that's about as the only time that really works.
And it's like all the characters are in that moment together and they're each contributing. Whereas like throughout the rest of the film, they're just kind of all over the place. You don't really,
just meander.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, it's just, that's the other thing. This film is just poorly paced for me.
Yeah.
Like there's the moment when the ship comes down. The continent ship, you know, over the Atlantic Ocean. It's like, this is kind of, you know, cool, but nothing like, even compared to, what was that movie? 2012 had like a more thrilling action scene when the world was like falling in on itself.
Yeah, it's weird for this film, which was like $165 million, which is a really respectable budget for a sci-fi film. Most of it, you were like, where did that money go? You know,
He doesn't have like
a lot of stuff doesn't look any better than stuff I see on sci-fi TV shows.
Yeah.
I'm like, really, it seems like for effects, most of it went into the scene where the ship is coming down and the science-y excuse that it's got its own gravitational field, which is why Hong Kong is flying in the air. Yeah. That's about the most expensive shot in the whole film. And the whole time I'm just going, I'm not sure this should be happening. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. And the other thing that bothered me, and this is a personal thing, they only like destroyed one landmark.
Yeah.
They like to get the landmarks.
Felt like they had to make a joke about it.
That's
like,
not
really that funny.
Yeah.
It's like,
well, here's the thing. I don't know. I see, but that's again, like they're in a box. Like if you destroy all the landmarks, well, you're doing the exact same thing you did in the first one.
You destroy different landmarks. Destroy the ones they didn't get.
Destroy a landmark. Yeah. You're like, it's a bridge.
They even show the Eiffel Tower still standing, even though they assume they flew over.
Which is, I didn't even know where they landed. I mean, was it London or was it?
I think it was supposed to be London or right outside London.
Yeah. Well, no, it was parts of Atlantic Ocean. London. Yeah. Like they had, it's so big that part of it landed in London, part of it landed in Hong Kong,
Landed in D.C. Pretty much got destroyed. Wow. Like at one point, the girl was like, "Oh, my mom's in London." Yeah. It's like, well, maybe she.
Well,
got
I thought that's where the major ship landed was in London. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't land anywhere else, like in D.C. or anything like that.
No, it's so big that it landed in D.C.
Remember, they're like what? Where? On the Atlantic Ocean.
It's everywhere.
It's, it's the entire Atlantic Ocean.
Well, it did land in D.C. because it, like,
it bumped up against the White House. Okay, that's
right. Like, all right. That was the one moment.
I just want to see that moment where it slows down and just touches it and goes, ding!
Yeah.
And then the whole thing just blows up.
Like
that scene in Top Secret right there where he hits the pinto right there and it just blows up.
But see, like scenes like that remind me of the scene from Pacific Rim where the Gypsy Danger's hand goes into the building and it hits that one little chair that hits that thing you put on your desk that the balls that go back and forth.
Yeah,
like to me, it doing that, like the ship hitting the White House and then the flag just sort of going over.
Mm-hmm.
Like to me, that's the movie winking at me, and so like that for me lets me get on board with they know it's stupid. I'm gonna just go whole hog into how stupid this is.
But again, that's a moment that worked well. They never kind of repeat that similar sense of humor throughout the rest of the movie. At least I didn't feel that.
Here's the thing. I agree with what you're saying. Like, if you have to enjoy this movie, I had to consciously say, I am going to just assume everything in here is as stupid as possible and just enjoy myself.
Okay.
It never brings that to you. You have to bring something
to it. Once again, paraphrasing, you just got to turn your brain off.
That's not what I meant. That is not what I meant. No, I will admit when I'm saying that, and I've done that several times.
It sounds like that's
No, this is not it. Like, it's not that you got to turn your brain off. It's that you have to bring something to the movie. The movie doesn't bring it to you, and that is a flaw in the movie. But if you can bring something to this movie yourself, then you can enjoy it, but that's not fair to the average viewer.
I mean, look, I want so bad to see because I do love the original. I know it's flawed. Honestly, there's a lot of films that are genuinely beloved by people from the 80s and 90s that are just as flawed as Independence Day.
Gone
that
in 60
nobody
seconds.
Gives even half as much shit as they do to Independence Day. And I'm always like, why is this the one that gets all the shit when it's a genuinely fun movie? It's got big holes in it, but it's also much better than a lot of other films that are held up as being better films than they did. So I wanted to see this story continue. I wanted a sequel. I've wanted a sequel for years. So I'm like going to see this like, you know, unless this thing is like the worst piece of shit ever, unless it's boring, I'm probably still going to kind of like it. And I think, Chris, you're right. Ultimately, a lot of this film is just fucking boring. Like the first two-thirds of this movie, there's just not much happening. It's a lot of like, we got to introduce new characters and the relationships with each other. And most of the new characters are just poorly written and not funny when they're supposed to be funny.
Yeah, you talk about new characters, but this movie goes out of its way to dig up an old character in the most implausible way just to kill her. Like, they say, what's Vivica Fox doing?
Oh, jeez.
Let's just go get her so we can just kill her real quick so that our non-charismatic Will Smith stand-in has some motivation.
His reaction is the worst. Mom! Yeah. No!
I'm just happy that all that stripper money helped pay for her doctor's...
Yeah. Oh, my God. You're right. They made her even more of a cliche. It's like, oh, she went to medical school.
I want to see what her dog is doing. Come on. Shouldn't he still be alive?
Yeah, her dog is dead.
20 years later, if that dog survives still...
Alien technology, huh?
That dog, you mean Boomer. Thank you.
Boomer. Yeah. God, look at playing his card.
I think if they want to make this franchise work, and we talked about this after the film, that they should approach it like Cloverfield is now handling their franchise, where they're telling side stories. And they introduce a really cool side story. It's like, I want to see that movie, where they introduce this African warlord character who apparently fought against his family and his, mercenary army, fought against these aliens that survived the events of the first Independence Day, and they fought them for 10 years in the jungles of Africa.
Which, once again, that's absolutely no sense.
Again, it doesn't make any sense in the explanations.
They should have gone comatose.
True. I mean, but did they introduce that concept only in this movie? Because they don't mention that in the original, do they?
Well, I mean, other than the moment they killed the main ship, everything shut down.
Okay. And I don't know if the aliens themselves shut down.
We never actually see any of them at that point.
No, this is a bad justification.
But they do say that in here specifically. Ever since the original ship went down, all of these aliens have been just comatose.
But this is a bad justification, because in the original movie, if I remember it right, it was if you upload the virus signal, then it filters down to the other ships and other ships and other ships. Mm-hmm. I know why they did this hive thing. They are trying to consciously get away from that virus bullshit. They're like, no, it was always the hive mind. It wasn't the virus. We destroyed the queen. So they're just going back and back justifying a whole bunch of shit. That's why they have to bend themselves in knots to do all this shit with the queen, because they can't do the virus thing again, because they've had 20 years of people going, that was stupid as shit.
Yeah.
What do you mean they used a virus from an Apple II?
Which, I mean, ultimately, it's the same effect. They uploaded a virus to the ship that destroyed that ship. Regardless if that virus spread to all those other things, it's still just as kind of...
Yeah. The stuff they do in this movie is just equally as stupid. Again, I just would have liked smaller stories, kind of expanding the mythology you want to create. I think that's, again, it could have been a smaller budget.
And that warlord character, super cool.
Yeah,
one of the only good additions to this was that guy who's not given enough to do, except the one cool scene where he power slides under an alien and stabs him in the back. It's like, told you gotta give him the back. I was like, I want to see a movie with just that guy doing that to aliens the whole time.
I will say, like you talk about, like, that's a great character. There are parts of this movie that are legitimately good. Like, I really like the art design on this movie. Like, the tech, I think it all looks great.
I generally agree with you. Most of it is just slightly evolved from the stuff that we saw in the last one.
Yeah, but I like that sort of adjusted future.
I mean, my favorite stuff about this film is honestly, like I said, almost all in the third act when you finally see the AI, the good alien AI thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, that's a cool thing to bring into this. Mm-hmm. And just the idea of like, hey, here's where we're going next, which I honestly expected they were going to shared universe this motherfucker and go like, it's this technology they call a Stargate. I was like, waiting for it. I was like, do it. You know you want to.
So like a parallel universe.
Do Universal own the rights to Stargate?
I don't know offhand.
Yeah, they do.
Do they? They might.
I think they do.
Hey, everyone's obsessed with connecting everything today, yeah, so they might as well do it.
But that's the thing. It's like, Chris, when you're saying about like having a little side story that they're talking about, they did bring in this new little side story like, this alien was chasing this little smaller alien here across the universe because it was like, you know, looking or trying to build up a resistance. Or
the idea that there is a resistance planet out there.
Yeah, there's a resistance, like a rebel force out there.
Yeah. I was like, obviously they're like going, okay, we don't want to do the exact same movie again. Instead, we're going to do more of a Star Wars movie.
Also, and do you like money? Because I like money. And these things make a lot of money, and we can either make one really good sequel, or we can make a middling sequel with the possibility of money.
Yeah. I don't think this is going to make nearly as much as they think. I agree with you.
I don't think it is either.
I think it's going to hit that sweet spot of stupid.
They picked the Super Weekend to open it in, that's for sure.
Yeah, but again, Finding Dory. Finding Dory is going to beat it in the box office.
Well, no,
I don't think it's going to beat it. I think this is going to be Finding Dory barely, but I think because it's second weekend.
Finding Dory already first weekend was like the
130
broke the record.
Yeah. I think this is going to beat it.
132 million.
Yeah, I don't see. I think the second weekend Dory's going to make about 60 some million.
Yeah.
So I don't think this is going to make it up to that, but I think it'll probably be in the range of 40.
Yeah,
like,
30 or 40 million is my guess. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, which is nowhere. That's the thing with this budget. This budget is huge. You know, 165.
But like you said, China is probably.
I mean, assuming they take to it. Guarantee you that's why there are two Chinese prominent characters in this film.
That's why we're going to get a second World of Warcraft movie.
Yeah.
It's because of China.
Yeah. No, totally. Who loved the shit out of that movie, apparently.
Yep.
You know, what like China always loves is like, you know, robots and alien, you know, space movies and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. This delivers.
Yeah, maybe they will. I mean, honestly, I would like this series to go on. I just would prefer, I'm like, at this point, this would be better served by a television series once again. I think this would make a great idea for a TV show.
It looks like it could be with the special effects.
If they are going to go on with movies, okay, you let Roland Emmerich have another film, fine. He made the first one, made you a lot of money. But now it's time to say goodbye to Roland Emmerich Dean Devlin, who are, you know, hacks, to be sure.
Yeah.
Entertaining hacks, but hacks. And get somebody who, you know, is of the age where they grew up watching the first one, loved it, and turned into a very competent filmmaker, scriptwriter themselves.
Yeah, why don't we just get James Cameron? I mean, he's just like, what's he doing?
Cameron's not going to do that. Cameron will sadly be making Avatar films until he
does. What about J.J. Abrams? He can reboot this.
Abrams has got other stuff on
he's.
But you know what I mean? There's lots of untapped talent out there that I feel like they're smart.
Yeah, Gareth Edwards.
You know, I mean, there's so many people they could go to, though, that are like, even people who haven't gotten their big shot yet. Yeah. I mean, look how good Marvel is at finding those people and going, oh, you're great, go ahead.
But Universal's not Marvel.
No.
And they have a history of hiring
directors. This is 20th Century Fox, and 20th Century Fox does not have a good...
This is Fox. I don't know why I thought Universal. Okay, yeah, I guess...
Because it's Universal. It's in the universe.
Yeah.
It's all over.
Same thing. I mean...
This is an intergalactic world.
But again, 20th Century Fox isn't Marvel. It's like, what? Because I think they would just hire like your typical studio director, you know, someone who's just
Brett
like a yes
Ratner.
Man. I wouldn't say Brett Ratner, but I think they would go more for someone.
You don't
like,
understand. 20th Century Fox does not have a good track record of hiring directors.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, it's like
they don't.
Everybody wants a brand that's going to be huge for them, and when they realize they're actually onto something, they have a way of like, okay, we need to pay somebody whatever they want to come in and be the outside talent to babysit this thing. I mean, that's going on a lot right now at multiple studios. The thing is, that's such a huge investment. You got to be sure your brand is worth it. If this thing, as you guys say, in China makes like a ridiculous amount of money, and they're like, well, fuck, we're going to make another sequel, but if we're going to keep this thing going, we're going to have to get the Americans invested in this
series. We're
going
to have to get Justin Lin or James Wan.
Yeah, somebody who are decent young filmmakers who are hungry
who
for...
Who love to do action movies.
Who would love to be sitting at the showrunner like reins of a series the way Joss Whedon was with the Avengers.
Sure.
You hit on it. There's sort of an evolution in movie going right now where it's like, movies are sort of turning into these really mega TV seasons.
Yeah.
Where it's like, if you keep on having these cinematic universes, it's like Marvel. Like, you've just seen the 14th episode of a season now. Like,
yeah.
It's just the same, because it's the same overarching story, so you really do need a showrunner.
Yeah, that's like, pretty much what it is. Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess Kevin Feige, technically, is the showrunner for the MCU. But that's the thing, everybody wants that, and I think all the studios, no matter how bad Fox has been historically with casting directors, they realize that if they do have a brand that is worth a lot, if they handle it correctly, that's when you pay somebody to come in, a lot of money to come in and go, we're going to make this worth your while to and be attached with your name to babysit this motherfucker and make sure it's good.
I mean, I don't know. I think this suffers kind of like the same, like Transformers kind of like series, you know, like the same director. I think, you know, Fox is okay with Emmerich. I mean, it's like, this is his baby. He can do whatever he wants to. And he's just going to give the same stuff as long as it's, you know, delivers as far as the action, the destruction and stuff like that. I don't think they're going to find somebody else or kick him off or anything like that. I think you're just going to give him the reins for as long as he wants to do it.
I mean, I agree, but I think, you know, it's like what they should do is kick him off, but I don't think they will.
Yeah, I mean, no, maybe. I don't, that's what I'm saying. Like I say, like this one, I think they realized it was like, this is chancy. Right now, there's a lot of people who are better at this sort of thing than we are, and they know that Roland Emmerich is not a terribly great director, that most of his big hits for them have been a matter of luck and good planning.
But that's the thing. The thing is, he's still good at disaster movies, and this is a disaster movie.
But not as much as it should have been.
You're right, but this is all he knows how to do, and this is what they'll give him to do.
But not if the next movie isn't set on Earth.
Yeah, if it's not a disaster movie,
Like they said about the aliens, how we're going to go see the alien planet, like where that's going to be. So I don't think that's going to happen.
He'll destroy that alien planet.
That's the whole movie is that planet.
He'll destroy their landmarks.
Like it's going to be like a big continent-sized ship with a big American flag on it.
Yeah. Let's just go to final thoughts here. Herman, why don't you?
I didn't really like this movie at all. Like the original film. I just don't have that love that you guys obviously have for that movie. It's like, yeah, there's some things I really enjoyed about it. You know, Jeff Goldblum, of course, and everything like that. But for this film, it's just, like, even if they brought back all these actors, they just didn't feel like they wanted to be there. Like, Jeff Goldblum, like, just his reactions is like, oh, no, that's terrible. It's like, maybe that's just him being Jeff Goldblum-y, but for me, it's just like, it felt like there were no stakes, even though the world is being destroyed. The new characters that they introduce, the Will Smith's son, Jamie Usher, whatever his name is, terrible. Liam Hemsworth, he's slightly more charismatic than usual, but again, he's just completely uninteresting. Mika Monroe, who I think is really this great up-and-coming actress, she's just really giving nothing to do except react and to cry when her father dies. For me, I just kind of give this 3 out of 10...
God damn it. Elliot?
I think I enjoyed this more than anybody else here. I don't think it is... I don't think the plot makes a lot of sense. I think they have a lot of problems with pacing and charisma, but I do have that emotional connection to the first one. Mm-hmm. So, honestly, and this is... maybe this makes me a bad critic, but I feel like I want to be the type of critic that just tells you how I feel and doesn't try to be like, well, I need to be completely objective. And... for me, it's like, I bring a lot to this movie. Like, I bring a legitimate love for the first movie. And so, anytime it's bad, I feel like I just sort of, I forgive it automatically. I'm like, oh, because, like, I'm just enjoying being back in this world. And I'm just trying to be honest here.
I know. I appreciate you putting out your thing and saying, like, I realize my review may be not be accurate.
No, it's
not. Y'all, I love this.
No, but here's the thing. I feel like it's not an unbiased review, but I feel like it's accurate to a lot of the audience that's going to see this.
Of course.
So you're going to have, I think this is going to be, you're not going to have middling views on this. Either they're going to be like, oh, that was stupid. Or you're going to have people who love the first movie, you're going to be like who really loved it, you're going to be like, it was stupid, but I wanted to like it so much. I really like it. And I see just a lot of missed opportunities in this movie, but honestly, at a certain point, I was just having so much fun that I think there are worse ways to spend about an hour and a half of your life.
2 hours. Then,
see, but it moved, for me, it moved so fast. Like, I didn't feel like I was there forever. Like, we saw Free State of Jones.
No, but I think, literally were there forever.
Yeah, I feel like I'm still in the theater. Like, it's like some version of me is still there in a quantum state, always stuck in there. Like, Matthew McConaughey from Interstellar is going to find me in a closet somewhere talking to him through fucking gravity. So, like, fucking Free State of Jones. Like, but all that's to say, I give this movie Independence Day Resurgence. 7, I gotta get myself one of these out of 10. How's that for a rating?
That works for me.
Well, I was kind of like in the middle of the road on this. I mean, I didn't love it, and then again, I didn't hate it. I mean, it was the last third act was kind of fun for me. You know, I really enjoyed the heck out of it, but it didn't make up for the story or the annoying characters. I hated the new characters that they had on there. I mean, it's like watching Friday Night Lights in space, you know?
And that's so good.
They were, you know, they were not all that endearing or anything for me. So I would probably give this like a 5 out of 10.
Yeah, I think I'm more with you than anybody else. I kind of like, we're both kind of in the middle. Didn't love it, didn't hate it. Like, some stuff was really cool. Other stuff was just boring. Like, there wasn't even anything I was like, that was lame. I was just like, well, that, except some of the jokes, which were pretty lame. But I was like, eh, it's just not moving that fast enough for me. I want, it's just no sense of urgency, I guess is the best way to say it here. And it's not till the third act that you start feeling that at all, where you're like, oh, now things are moving. And now I'm excited to see what's going to happen. And yeah, it's a pretty solid third act overall, but most of it, you know, feels like stuff that should have been a first draft stuff, you know, like should have like been like, okay, that didn't work, so let's find another way to approach this. It really feels like this was just unfinished in many, many ways. That being said, as Elliot said, like real hardcore Independence Day fans are going to find stuff in here they're really going to enjoy. I mean, I'm one of those guys, and yes, I know, give me all the shit you want in the comments for loving the original Independence Day. I don't care. I love it anyway. You know, you've got a movie like that for you. Whatever. This is hopefully this is a disappointing sequel in the middle of a series that gets much better, if that's in fact what happens. This could very well be an embarrassing bomb for the studio. I think, you're right that in China it'll do really well, but that you never know. China's hard to predict. They're inscrutable. I'm going to give this 5 out of 10 uncomfortable Judd Hirsch Jewy moments.
Yeah, they were pretty uncomfortable.
Yeah, they are pretty uncomfortable. Yeah,
it was more than like in the first movie. Like the first movie, they sort of go there, but this one they like fully like, just worries you're going to make this as bad.
Hey, yeah. I'm a Jew.
Yeah, I'm going to try to.
Who is this girl that you're about to kiss?